Let's try, is that the one I want? What is today?
Thursday.
Thursday? Well, it's a good day. It's a good day. Psalm chapter 32, if you would please. Psalms chapter 32. The book of Psalms chapter 32. For those that are only listening partway, that would be Psalms chapter 32. Psalms 32, verse number, what do you think? 7. You're getting close. It's between 7 and 9. Which one? Verse number 8. Am I okay? I'm not okay? I forgot to turn on the microphone. Since you missed the first half hour of the message, go to Psalm 32. Technical difficulties. Those guys in the sound room are strange. Just a little too much sound back there is what that is. Psalm 32, verse number 8. All together now, let's read it out loud. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's the Lord talking to us, isn't it? And what does he want to do? He wants to instruct us and he wants to teach us in the way that we should go. Right? So we're going to find out a little bit tonight about the instruction or instructing of God. Look at Psalm 25 and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Shew me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as David said a long time ago, I pray that you'd show us your paths. Teach us your ways, Lord. Guide us with your eye this night in some instructions that we have in the Bible. Help us to understand, Lord, you will never ask us to do something that is not right, but only ask us to do things that you approve of. Help us now, Father, and I pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Instruction, instruction, instruction. We ought to be following the instructions, don't you think? If you want to do something right, the best way to do it is follow the instructions. Right? I have in my life as a human being have decided at times to build things or try to figure things out without reading the instruction. It has never worked. And you would think after 15 or 16 tries, I'd just give up and start reading the instruction. But I don't. You're not like that, are you? You follow the instructions, don't you? It takes too much time to read the instructions. I'd rather try to do it 4 or 5 times in a row. That don't take any time at all. I mean, sometimes I amaze myself how stupid I am. And I can't say that about you. You can say that about you if you want, but Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know what the Lord has done? He has given us some basic instructions. In fact, that's what this Bible stands for. BIBLE stands for basic instruction before leaving Earth. Right? That's why you have a Bible, so you can get the basic instructions before leaving Earth. Because one of these days, you're going to leave Earth. Right? And when you get to heaven, you won't need any instructions. You're going to need a lot down here, though. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting in verse number 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. On that wall, and that wall, and that wall, and this wall, you have the Word of God. Instructions, right? That's what the Word of God is. It's instruction. How much instruction do you have on the walls in your house? Or in the room that you stay in? Or your car? Well, the Bible says here, that's what you're supposed to, that's the instruction, that's what you're supposed to do. How can the Bible teach you? How can you get instruction from the Bible when you don't know what it says? Now, how many of you have read Psalm 23? Could you stand up and quote it? Did you follow the instructions? Well, one of the instructions is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that one of the instructions? Do you want? Well, if you want, then the Lord isn't your shepherd. I mean, just think about it now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I don't have to worry. If he's the shepherd and I'm the sheep, what do I have to worry about? He'll take care. Well, will God take care of you if you let him? Sure. The instructions of the Bible. Maybe we ought to start paying attention to them. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Just so you didn't think there was just accidental that God said what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, 19, and 20. The Bible says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. I'm very fortunate. From the very beginning, when I started traveling around this United States of America in a motor home, I had scripture put on the sides. And I have scripture in the windows. Why? Well, because the Word of God needs to be known. Right? And I'm supposed to put it on my house. Well, that's my house. Right? Now, is the scripture on your house? It should be, shouldn't it? I mean, if that's what the Bible says to do, shouldn't we do it? Psalm 34. Don't make me come down there. Psalm 34, verse number 11. Some instructions from God. The Bible says, Psalm 34, verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. One of the instructions of God is, we're supposed to fear him. Now people say, well, I'm not afraid of God. Well, then you're a fool. Right? You know what God can do anytime he wants to? He can stop you from breathing. And there's nothing you can do about it. All you can do is go. But that's what he could do. Should we fear him? Well, the wages of sin is what? How many sinners in the room? Boy, you know what your payment is for what you've been doing? It's death. But the mercies of God, what? Well, by God's grace, we get salvation, don't we? He didn't have to give it to us. It cost him a lot. Proverbs chapter 1. Instructions. Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to give you a reason why you should read Proverbs at least once a day. And here it is. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Though a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that's absolutely true. Not just because it's in the Bible, although that is a real good reason, because it's something that you can see throughout life. People that you can't tell how to do something are always foolish. Always. There's never a not time in one of those. But people that fear the Lord, you know what they are? They're wise above their years. It's sad that I didn't get saved when I was first witnessed to at the age of 12. I wasted 28 years of my life. I didn't get saved till I was 40. And these young men over here, you got saved, right? Praise God. I mean, just praise God. You have no idea until you hit glory how much that thrills me to know that you're saved. And you do not have to go through what I went through. You don't have to experience or have happen to you what I experienced or had happened to me because of not being saved. You basically have a clean worksheet. You don't have 25 years or 40 years of baggage in your brain to get rid of. And praise God for that. Like the old preacher said one time, all that baggage we have, we're the ones that put it on the ship when we did whatever we did, right? And when the ship comes to port, we're the ones that have to unload it. And the ship comes in at least once a day. And praise God, you didn't have too many ships to push out. Because you only have what? 15, 16, 17, 18 years? Try 40. That's a whole lot of boats on the sea of life. And just because I forgot about it doesn't mean that they're not still out there. Right? And hallelujah for that. The instructions of God. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse number 1. Proverbs 4, verse number 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. God wants to tell us something. Are you willing to listen? Because after you have a deaf ear to God for so many times, he just will quit talking to you. I'm telling you. He tries to tell you, he tries to tell you, he tries to tell you. Pretty soon he won't try to tell you anymore. You're supposed to hear, ye children, the instruction of a father. Look at verse number 13. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Wouldn't it be terrible if someone didn't tell you how to do something and you got hurt trying to do it on your own? Because that what will happen in life. If you're not willing to take the instructions from God and try to do it on your own, there's a real good chance that you could get hurt or fall away from God or become a Christian that's just put on the shelf. Oh, you're going to heaven because nothing can stop that. But as far as God blessing you and as far as God keeping you and giving you comfort, he's not obligated in any stretch of the imagination. He'll just set you over there. Oh, you'll get raptured out. But there won't be no rewards in heaven. You have to be careful because God will tell you what to do when you should do it. Look at chapter 6, verse 23. Chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Sometimes God's going to tell you, hey, that's not the way you do it. Instead of us getting our back up and our neck stiff and our head hard and our heart, we need to say, okay, God, I'll do it your way. I could just stand here and preach you all night, but I'm trying to show you from my own experience, your way is not God's way. And if it's not, then it's not the right way. Right? Anybody here, Art, who drives a car? Have you ever went down the street the wrong way? And how long did you continue doing that? Until you found out it was the wrong way? And then you immediately turned around and went the other way? Well, why don't we do that with God then? Right? I mean, we know if we're going the wrong way. I mean, listen, you don't have to be very smart to know you're doing wrong. You just have to be honest about it. And if you know you're doing wrong, then stop. All right, here's the instruction of God. Thou shalt not. Who understands what that means? Okay. Then why are you doing it, if thou shalt not? This is even better. Thou shalt. How many of you understand what that means? Well, then how come you don't do it? It's just instructions is all it is. Chapter 8, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10. I mean, we could go on, couldn't we? Let's just hope we don't. All right, chapter 8, verse number 10. The Bible says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Now, I'm going to try to step on some toes here on purpose. And I don't know who you are, and I don't even care. All I know is what I see going to the 65 or 70 churches that I go to every year. You know what Christians in America do? They'd rather earn money than go to the house of God. Now, I'm not talking about having a job that keeps you out of church. I'm talking about volunteering for overtime that keeps you out of church. Or sleeping in the Sunday morning because Sunday school isn't important to you. You don't need instructions from God. Or if there's a revival of your church, I've heard him before. Or your friends say, well, you go to church all the time. You don't have to go tonight. And yet the Bible reads, and maybe I'm wrong, but it says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. That's what it says. Here's what I honestly believe. When I come to church, I'm going to hear from God. If I'm willing. If I'm not willing, I won't hear from God. All I'll hear is from a man, and I don't like him anyway, so... Well, don't get mad at the message deliverer because you don't like the message. Take it up with God. Tell God you didn't like the message. Come on, you're brave. Go ahead and tell him. Well, God, I didn't like that message. And then maybe God will holler down from heaven, well, it wasn't for you anyway. Like that's going to happen, right? Look at verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Are we waiting for God? Are we anxious to hear from God? He'll talk to us every day if we let him. Chapter 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. You want to be wiser? Listen to the instructions. Chapter 10, verse 17. Chapter 10, verse 17. A lot of instructions in Proverbs, huh? Chapter 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. You know, there are some people that you just cannot tell they're wrong because they don't believe they're ever wrong. You know what you ought to do? Quit telling them. Well, it's not going to do any good. Here's a suggestion. If somebody gets to be that way, just say, well, I'll pray for you. And mean it. What will you pray? Lord, help them. That's the only way, listen, that's the only way they're going to change, if God can help them. Because pride is a terrible thing. And that's what pride does. It allows you to refuse correction, to refuse rebuke, to have someone tell you that you're doing wrong, and even if you know you're doing wrong, it's real difficult to admit it. Especially admit it to God. And he knows. You know what we ought to have? We ought to have churches that the altar is full before, during, and after the preaching. Why? Because we are not doing right. And we could be if we chose to. Chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Chapter 13, verse number 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Look what it says there in verse number 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. If we humble ourselves in the sight of God, you know what he will do? He'll lift us up. Lord, I'm wrong and you're right. Help me to do what you want me to do. Help me to follow your instructions. It doesn't matter if I agree with them or not. That's the point is gone. I shouldn't even consider whether me being right or wrong. Why? Because God is always right. Is God always right? Always? Well, you keep telling yourself that now for the next 3 or 4 years. In fact, write it on a little 3x5 card and put it somewhere where you look at it every day. God is right and I am wrong. And eventually you'll just know it. You won't have to look at the card anymore. People say, what's that for? Well, it shows me that God's right and I'm wrong. Who is on the Lord's side, right? Isn't that one of the songs we sing? Chapter 15, verse 5. Chapter 15, verse 5. Chapter 15, the book of Proverbs, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. You know why people don't believe in God? Because they don't want to be held accountable to someone that's better than they are. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why? Because he can do whatever he wants. All he's going to do is just die someday. There's going to be, if no one catches him, there's no consequences. That's foolish. Why do I say that? Because I know there's a God. And whatever I do, there's consequences. If I do something good, there's consequences for that. If I do something that's bad, there's consequences for that. Doesn't matter. Good or bad, I'm going to be judged by what I do. Good or bad, I'm going to be judged by what I say. Good or bad, I'm going to be judged by what I think. You know what the best thing I can do? Is try to do things that are good instead of things that are bad. And this is the test that I use. Did Jesus do it? Well, he only did good, right? Who watches you every day? Is his name God? Well, are you pleasing him? Look at chapter 19, verse 20. Chapter 19, verse 20. We are supposed to please God. We're supposed to do what God says. I think if we do what God says, it'll please him. There's a verse somewhere, and I don't know if it's in 1 or 2 Samuel. Anyway, it's in one of those books. It is better to please God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what it says. All right, where are we going? We're in somewhere. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. People say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That is just not true. It just takes longer. But you can teach an old dog new tricks. Why? Because when I got saved, I was an old dog. And the Lord taught me some new tricks. Praise the Lord. And I can't really call them tricks, but how long have you been saved? A week? A month? A year? A decade? A century? Well, think about this. There was a man a long time ago, his name was Enoch, and he walked with God 300 years. Every day he walked with God for 300 years. You know, God taught him a new trick. Being 365 years old. What was the new trick? Well, he went home with God. Why was that a new trick? No one had ever done it before. Praise God, right? You know what he can do? He can teach you a new trick too if you're willing to learn it. If you're willing to step away and let God have your way in your life, look at chapter 23, chapter 23, verse number 12. We're almost finished. No clapping, please. Proverbs 23, verse number 12. I'm going to try to say this with as much kindness and grace as I can. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. It's just something that I've noticed, and I've even done it myself sometimes. When somebody asks you to pray and there's a congregation around, do everybody in the congregation a favor and pray loud and slow so they can hear what you're praying, because it will encourage them in their prayer life. I'm telling you. Now, I know sometimes it's embarrassing to pray in front of other people because you're afraid you'll say the wrong thing. Listen, you cannot pray wrong. You're talking to God. And He knows what you want to say, even if you can't say it. Right? So please, when you pray, don't go, praise the Lord. Because that's what we hear in the back. I mean, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just telling you. And if someone asks you to read the Bible, if it has a period at the end of the sentence, stop. If it has a comma, slow down. Because you could, if you wanted to, chapter 3, or 23, verse 12, you could say, applying that heart unto instruction thine ears to the words of knowledge. And people go, well, yeah, that's what it says. The Word of God should be read slowly, purposely, and distinctly. Proverbs 23, verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. That's a two-part sentence. You're supposed to do two things. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to apply your heart for instruction or to instruction, and you're supposed to apply your ears to the words of knowledge, right? Look at verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Look at chapter 21, verse number 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. What do we have? We have verse after verse after verse about the instruction or the instructing of God and God's Word. And we should, as Christians, whether we're 5, 10, 15, just keep going up in years, 120, whatever, in between those schedules there or those numbers there, we should be listening to the Word of God and following the instructions, right? God will never tell us to do something that's wrong, will He? Will He ever tell us to do something that will hurt someone else? Maybe we ought to follow the instructions. Don't go that way, don't go that way, don't go that way. That's what the Bible says. Don't go that way. Second Timothy chapter 3. I know you know what it says, but let's look at it anyway in the context of the instructions of God. Second Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll look at verse number 16. We know that all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's why God gave us the Bible. That's why it's inspired by God, because the instruction will be correct. It amazes me that people that have large amounts of intelligence can't seem to get this. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not smart, because they are, but they're just not wise. You see, they have knowledge, but they don't know how to guide that knowledge into understanding. It started, I don't know when it started, but someone decided that they would make the Bible out to be not true. Can't do it. I mean, if you were a serious student about things, about improbabilities, impossibilities, this Bible would show you that It would be highly improbable that 40 men could write about basically the same thing throughout this book and live anywhere from 5 to 1500 years apart and predict and come to 100% correctness to the smallest detail about things that were 1,000 years ahead of their time. But that's what happened. See, we tend to forget sometimes about Moses. Moses wasn't around when God created the earth, was he? How did he know? Well, how did he know? I mean, would you just sit down one day, start writing, say, well, that sounds good. And every time they try to disprove it, they end up proving it. That's why they quit trying. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? And it's profitable. And the last thing, or the thing for this message is, it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. What I have here, just like the very beginning, I have the basic instruction before leaving earth. You have a King James Bible in your lap? Do you? Then you have the basic instruction before leaving earth. You want to find out how to be a good husband? Read the instructions and follow them. Find out how to be a good wife? Read the instructions and follow them. How about a good worker? Read the instructions and... How about someone that prays properly? Read the... Well, pick something. I want to be a good architect. Read the instructions and follow them. I want to be a good doctor. Well, pick something. What do you want to be good at? Everybody here wants to be good at something. What are you supposed to do if you want to be good at something? Read the instructions. You guys are slow. What do you want to do if you want to be good at something? Come on, you can do better than that. Lord, help us. All right, last verse tonight. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. This is not me, brothers and sisters of Christ. This is God. What does he want? Here's what he wants. Psalm 32, verse number 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Is he talking to you? If you let him, he is. If you don't let him, he's not talking to you. You will learn this as you go on along in your Christian life, if you haven't learned it already. God will never jerk you around. If you want his help, he will help you. If you want his instructions, he will instruct you. But if you don't, he'll let you go your own way. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor.